add cheerfulness.
Don't worry, I'm quite looking forward to it, to tell the truth.
He clapped his spiritual hands and rubbed them together with forced enthusiasm.
Get a move on. Some of us have got new lives to go to, he said.
The darkness remained inert. There was no shape, no sound. It was void, without form. The spirit of Windlepoons moved on the face of the darkness. It shook its head.
Blow this for a lark, it muttered. This isn't right at all.
It hung around for a while, and then, because there didn't seem anything else for it, headed for the only home it had ever known. It was a home he'd occupied for 130 years. It wasn't expecting him back and put up a lot of resistance. You either had to be very determined or very powerful to overcome that sort of thing, but Windlepoons had been a wizard for more than a century. Besides, it was like breaking into your own house, the old familiar property that you'd lived in for years. You knew where the metaphorical window was that didn't shut properly. In short, Windlepoons went back to Windlepoons. Wizards don't believe in gods in the same way that most people don't find it necessary to believe in, say, tables. They know they're there, they know they're there for a purpose, they'd probably agree that they have a place in a well-organized universe, but they wouldn't see the point of believing, of going round saying, oh, great table without whom we are as naught. Anyway, either the gods are there, whether you believe it or not, or exist only as a function of the belief. So either way, you might as well ignore the whole business and, as it were, eat off your knees. Nevertheless, there is a small chapel off the university's great hall, because while the wizards stand right behind the philosophy as outlined above, you don't become a successful wizard by getting up God's noses, even if those noses only exist in an ethereal or metaphorical sense. Because while wizards don't believe in gods, they know for a fact that gods believe in gods. And in this chapel lay the body of Windlepoons. The university had instituted 24 hours lying in state ever since the embarrassing affair 30 years previously with the late Prissel merry prankster Titar. The body of Windlepoons opened its eyes. Two coins jingled onto the stone floor. The hands crossed over the chest, unclenched. Windle raised his head. Some idiot had stuck a lily on his stomach. His eyes swiveled sideways. There was a candle on either side of his head. He raised his head some more. There were two more candles down there, too. Thank goodness for old Titar, he thought. Otherwise, I'd already be looking at the underside of a rather cheap pine lid. Funny thing, he thought. I'm thinking. Clearly. Wow. Windle lay back, feeling his spirit refilling his body like gleaming molten metal running through a mould. White-hot thoughts seared across the darkness of his brain, fired sluggish neurons into action. It was never like this when I was alive. But I'm not dead. Not alive and not dead. Sort of non-alive or undead.
Oh, dear.
He swung himself upright. Muscles that hadn't worked properly for 70 or 80 years jerked into overdrive. For the first time in his entire life, he corrected himself, better make that period of existence, Windlepoon's body was entirely under Windlepoon's control. And Windlepoon's spirit wasn't about to take any lip from a bunch of muscles. Now the body stood up. The knee joints resisted for a while, but they were no more able to withstand the onslaught of willpower than a sick mosquito can withstand a blowtorch. The door to the chapel was locked. However, Windle found that the merest pressure was enough to pull the lock out of the woodwork and leave fingerprints on the metal of the door handle.
Oh, goodness, he said.
He piloted himself out into the corridor. The distant clatter of cutlery and the buzz of voices suggested that one of the university's four daily meals was in progress. He wondered whether you were allowed to eat when you were dead. Probably not, he thought. And could he eat anyway? It wasn't that he was hungry, it was just that, well, he knew how to think, and walking and moving were just a matter of twitching some fairly obvious nerves. But how exactly did your stomach work? It began to dawn on Windle that the human body is not run by the brain, despite the brain's opinion on the matter. In fact, it's run by dozens of complex automatic systems, all whirring and clicking away with the kind of precision that isn't noticed until it breaks down. He surveyed himself from the control room of his skull. He looked at the silent chemical factory of his liver with the same sinking feeling as a canoe builder might survey the controls of a computerized supertanker. The mysteries of his kidneys awaited Windle's mastery of renal control. What, when you got right down to it, was a spleen? And how did you make it go? his heart